Good to have you tonight. You enjoy this beautiful day. It's a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But we're always thankful for the extra blessings. I call this kind of weather the handful on purpose that God gives us, just a blessing, and I'm thankful for it. Glad you're here tonight. And I want you to take your Bibles and go to the book of James again. We're in the book of James. And I want you to turn, if you will, to James, the third chapter. We're going to look at a subject tonight that is, I don't enjoy this chapter in the sense it talks about the tongue. And I'm wondering today as I think about it, and I've meditated upon it, looked it over, I see the potential of the tongue here, what it can do, the damage it can cause. I think of the pictures of the tongue, it's going to use a horse and a ship. I see the power of the tongue, what it can do to other people. The success or the failure of a church is often based on the tongue. You can damage the church without even intending to do it with the tongue, simply because of the things that we say. My prayer is we go through this time of searching for the pastor, that we understand how important it is that in the meantime we could ruin this church by the tongue, the things we said. I've done 13 interims now, pastored 3 different churches in 52 years, so I know a little bit about what I'm talking about tonight. I've seen churches destroyed. I've seen churches not go ahead in their goals simply because of the tongue. So my prayer tonight is that we will take very seriously this tongue, which can be a tremendous blessing. I'm glad I have one. Or it can be a tremendous curse. Father, I pray tonight as we look at this chapter that you will speak to our hearts. Deal with us, Lord, as we look at this ourselves. We really see a picture of ourselves in this chapter. More than once in my own life, I've said things that I regretted I've ever said with that wicked thing called the tongue, because it was not under the guidance and control of the Holy Spirit. Deal with us tonight as only you can, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Notice the potential of the tongue. He deals there in verse 1 and 2 with the harm and the hope for the tongue. Notice first the harm here. Look there as we begin in verse, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation." Then he gets into the subject of the tongue, "For in many things we offend all." We can offend all by the things we do. We can offend all in different ways by our actions. But then notice what he says. "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, a mature man." In other words, the tongue is a deciding factor whether or not you're mature. How you handle the tongue here. "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man." That word perfect has the idea of maturity and able also to bridle the whole body. Now we're going to deal here about a horse in a few moments. We think of that bridle. But the tongue can hurt more than we realize. You've often heard the statement, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." It's the biggest lie, one of the biggest lies ever told, as we have said things. And we certainly realize that more and more. I think of the illustration here. If you turn in your Bibles to one Old Testament passage just to begin with. Go over there to the book of, we're going to be in the book of Psalms a lot tonight because Psalms has a lot to say about the subject. If you'll go to Psalm 102 for a few moments, you'll see what I'm trying to say here in Psalm 102. And look with me there. In this particular passage, There's Psalm 102. Is that what I said? Be good if I check out what I mean. Psalm 106. I didn't think that sound right. Psalm 106. And look with me in verse 32 and 33 of that psalm. This is a story of Moses. And when I think of Moses, a great man of God, by the way, Moses had a tongue problem. He would often lose his temper. I have a message that I preached on at least four times he had lost his temper. One of them was when he struck the rock and it cost him something. But look here in verse 32 and 33 of Psalm 106. They angered him, referring to Moses, at the water of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake, because they provoked his spirit so that he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. He said things, and those things that he said, remember, he got so angry, they were followed by what he did. Your words often will affect your actions, and we need to be careful. So we have here the harm of the tongue. As they provoked Moses, and he yielded to that provocation, he committed a terrible sin. Let me go back to our passage. We'll be back and forth with the Psalms, but we'll go back to that passage there, to the book of James, and turn with me again to James chapter 3. For we not only see the harm of the tongue, but we see the hope for the tongue. Look at verse 2 again. Hey, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect. He's maturing. That's the idea there. He's able to bridle the whole body. So the hope for the tongue, you can mature. You can overcome the tongue through the Holy Spirit. And the tongue here, I think about the truth of that tongue that I have, and I just think it all comes from my heart. I'm having a little bit of trouble in a minute here. I think I'm going to be okay. I'd rather just keep on going if you don't mind, but I get your focus off me. I have to tell you, I have a couple aneurysms in my brain the deacons know about. I guess you know about it now because I'm having a little spell here. So it hits me and I'm not too sure for a moment or two where I'm at. I am here physically, but I'm not too sure I'm here otherwise, okay? So stay with me. I will be back, all right? And don't get upset. I'm okay. The worst thing that could happen to me, I could go home and be with Jesus. Amen? That's a good thing, right? Hello? Somebody say amen. Thank you so much. The potential of the tongue for either one way or the other is so real. May we realize that. The tongue, we realize this dangers. We realize how God can use it. I'm speaking tonight with what? My tongue? I'm not using sign language. But then he deals with the picture of the tongue. He'll use two pictures in our text here. If you go back and look at our Bible here, he deals here. Look at verse 3 and focus now on the scripture, not on me, okay? Look at verse 3. But we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. He uses the illustration of a horse, how we control it. It is needed for discipline. It's needed for direction. Puts it bits in the mouth so that we can direct the church, the horse, so we can also do the things that need to be done. Think with me, there's another illustration he gives here. Look there in verse 4. But also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yea, and they turn about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now think with me, I want to give you an illustration of that. During World War II, 1941 and May 21 in 1941, a great ship called the Bismarck. Have you ever heard of the Bismarck? The Bismarck was headed back when it was a group of British ship surrounding the, it was headed back to safe harbor in France, but it never made it because one of the shells hit the rudder and damaged the rudder, and so the ship kept going in circles. It couldn't go straight. It couldn't get to its goal. Here's this huge, the Bismarck was a great ship, one of the pride of the German fleet, and yet because it could not, a very small part of that ship determined its destination. That's this, our tongue. Small, but it can determine so much about so many things. So he's reminding us it's a beast that behaves, a ship that is seaworthy, but yet if the rudder is damaged, it can go nowhere. It could not make it where it needed to be. So he deals here with that. Then he deals in verse 5 here. So he deals with a horse and its bit. I enjoy riding. How many know how to ride a horse? Okay. All right. 3 or 4 of you. All right. I think they're fun to ride. You ever ride a horse? You need to. You need to get one on your property there. That's what you need to do. All right. All right. That way I could come and ride it. Yeah. And then I think about the ship. Then I think about the fire that is fierce. He deals with a beast that needs to behave. He deals with a ship that needs to be seaworthy. He deals with a fire that can be fierce. Look there in verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how a great matter, a little fire kindleth. One of the churches that I took care of in the interim was in Greeley Hill, up in the mountains there of California in Yosemite. How many ever been to Yosemite? Have anyone here been to Yosemite? It's a beautiful place. And I was there, and then I, of course, left. But 2 years ago, if you read, the fire swept through Yosemite and burned some of those beautiful, beautiful trees in Yosemite. I'll never forget. I visited after the fire. Couldn't believe what they did, the fire did. And only because somebody was camping, didn't put out the fire. A small fire destroyed hundreds and hundreds and into thousands of acres in Yosemite, and many animals were killed because of the fire. It damaged. And I share with you tonight, the tongue has damaged many a homes, many a marriages, many of churches. Please keep that in mind. So we see here, I'm better now. I'm okay. I'm back with you. Stay with me. You be with me. I'm with you now. All right. We saw the potential of the tongue. There is can hurt or it can offer hope. We looked there of the picture of the tongue. We had 3 of them. We have here a beast that needs to behave. We saw a ship that needs to be seaworthy. And we saw a fire that can be so fierce if it's out of control. I pray that the only fire that will spread to the church here at Calvary Baptist Church is the fire from heaven to set us all on fire for the Lord, for the glory of God. But I deal thirdly with the power of the tongue. I want to notice here 7 things in this text, beginning in verse 6. Would you note them? He points out, first of all, the tongue is depraved. Have you thought of that little muscle? When you look at it, you say, that's depraved? It sure is. It sure is. And we'll forget the business meeting in our church that lasted in Charleston, South Carolina, till 1 in the morning. Started at 8, 7. That's a long time. And what was because we were divided over whether or not these families needed to be disciplined who were tearing the church apart. It's a tough time. Of course, they brought their group with them to try to get rid of the deacons and the pastor and anyone who opposed them. And they had money, and they used it. So when the church realized they needed to go, it was a hard night. It was a hard night. And there were things said that I can still remember to this day. Horrible things. My life was threatened physically. But God got us through it. It was a terrible time for the church, but it was a good time because God was doing something. And after they were church disciplined, decided to sue us. I think I mentioned that to you before. It cost the church over $100,000. But God saved the church. God saved the church. And the deacons who stood up, did right, remembered so well. I'm thankful for deacons that do right. I really am. I'm thankful for pastors who do right. And I told them more than once that they felt I needed to go, I would go. They said, it's not you. It's the problem here. I was only there. That was my anniversary present. The tongue did its work. So we see here, as we look at this, we look here as the tongue is depraved. The tongue not only is depraved, but it defiles the whole body. Look there in verse 6 again. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Now we know the world certainly is a depraved place, isn't it? We recognize that. Then we find here the tongue among us members that defileth the whole body. The word defile here literally means to stain. To stain. I think I've mentioned to you before how often I've had to get ink out of my shirts. I don't carry fountain pens with me anymore because I have to answer to Marilyn for them. How many of you men know what I'm talking about? I just knocked this off. It'd be okay, won't it, if I lay it here? Because she said, I'm tired of trying to get the ink spots out. I think the Holy Spirit's tired of trying to get the sin out of our lives when we use our tongue. He's just tired of it. Because it defiles the whole body. And so the tongue is depraved. The tongue defiles. And the tongue can be demonic. I think this is a very strong thought here. And look again at verse 6. It is certainly depraved. It is certainly defiles and setteth on fire the course of nature. And would you get these words, and it is set on fire from where? Of hell. The word here, there are two words for the word hell. In the Greek, the one is Hades. You're probably familiar with that word. And that's where the souls of departed people go without Christ now. That's not the word here. The word here is the Hebrew, a Greek word, Gehenna. It was the city dump outside Jerusalem, and they were always burning things at the city dump. And they named that Gehenna for hell. Why? Because hell is a place of fire. I remember many years ago as I grew up on Riverside Drive, my front yard was just a few yards probably to that door where the railroad tracks was. That was my playground. The back was the city dump. Back in those days, you took it all down there, and we would go down there, and no better place to play for a young poor boy with his friends in the city dump. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, you've been there. And I remember when there were five of us that ran around together. Only two of us ever made it to 21. Three of them died in terrible deaths. One hung himself. That was Jimmy. And the other one was Ron Fraser, who hit a bridge going about 90 mile an hour one night, drunk. And then Jimmy hung himself. But I never forget, we'd visit and we'd walk. And I remember forget one day we were walking in that dump. And if you understand, there's fires burning under all that stuff constantly. And I remember seeing Jimmy. He fell down into the fire. I reached for him and grabbed him as hard as I could, and I literally grabbed his arm and skin started to come off. He was yelling and screaming. We had to rush him to the hospital. He lived, and later on he hung himself. But I thought about that fire. I can hear him screaming now. And I wonder how hell is on fire screaming. But I want to tell you something. There's hell right here. It's right from that place called hell is the tongue. And my prayer tonight, we will realize the damage can, it's not only depraved, defiling, demonic, but it's deadly. Look there with me in verse 7 and 8 is deadly. For every kind of the beast and of the bird and of the serpents and of things on the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. Would you get that? No man can tame the tongue. Only God can do that. That's an important truth here. The tongue can be as full of deadly poison. Look here. Look at verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. Now underline the word poison here. It's a word which means arrow. It's an interesting Greek word. It's like shooting an arrow. Did you ever shoot an arrow? You aim and the arrow hits what you're shooting at. And so the tongue has direction. And if you go over to Psalm 57, go back to the Psalms. We were there a little while ago. And let's go back to them to Psalm 57, if you will, please. And look with me here in verse 4. My soul is among lions. David is writing this. He wrote it while he was fleeing from Saul. Look at verse 4. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows. The word arrow here is the same word for poison. And their tongue is sharp sword. The tongue certainly can be very, very destructive in our lives. So I say to you tonight, it's not only depraved and defiling, but it's also deadly and as well as demonic. Have you thought of your tongue that way? I'm asking you tonight to think about that, because all kinds of things are said when the church is going through sometimes what you're going through. I want to tell you something else about the tongue. It's disloyal. It's disloyal. Look over there in verse 9 and 10. My prayer for all of us here is you'll be loyal to this church. You'll be loyal to it. You'll take how seriously God wants you. Notice here in verse 9 and verse 10, therefore bless we with God, even the Father, and thereof we curse men. It's interesting. We take the same tongue. We speak well of God, and then we go after and cut people down. Wow, that's disloyalty. Now, your church is not perfect. You know why? Because you're not. I've had more than one time in my ministry where I've said, somebody's come to me and they've said, I would join the church, but you know, there's so many hypocrites there. I say, come on in, one more won't hurt. One more won't hurt. If you come in to the church. And I thought of the tongue. It's so disloyal. The word curse here means to cut in stone. when you cut in stone, that's pretty permanent. I wrote this. It was found on a tombstone years ago. Let me read it to you. Beneath the stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 12th, 4th of May, began to hold her tongue. Now we laugh at it. Let me read it again, because you weren't expecting this. Beneath the stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. Wow. I hope that would not be written on my tombstone. But I do think about the fact that one day I'll face my Lord, and I wonder how he's going to be pleased with my tongue, the way I've used it down through the years. So watch the tongue. Realize the power. It is depraved. It is certainly defiling, and defile the whole bisque and defile everything about you. It's demonic. I'll never forget that night in Charleston, because the demons were very real in our church. I'm not suggesting for a moment they were demon-possessed people. Only God knows that. But I want you to know there's some unseen angels in here tonight, and no doubt unseen demons in here tonight. Probably sitting on some of the benches and the pews and hoping that someone will have wrong thoughts, say wrong things to disturb this great church that God has brought here today. The tongue is not only depraved, it not only defiles the whole body, it's demonic, it comes out of the hell fire. It not only is deadly because of those arrows that are shot, it's disloyal, but the tongue can be very destructive. Look at verse 11 and 12. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig, or so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water? I was up in Michigan helping a church. If you remember a few years ago, when the water was so bad they didn't know how to get the water to the people, you could turn your faucet on, and I guarantee you there wasn't fresh water coming out of it. And we realize here, we begin, that water that should have come out of that fountain, which should have been very sweet, very right, but it was very, very, very destructive. It caused the death of people. And people for flying had a hard time to deal. They don't deal with the problem in Michigan with the water anymore. No, their biggest problem is their governor. That's their biggest problem today, not the water. Thought I'd throw a little politics in there. A little politics. Tongue can be very destructive. And finally, as I look at this tonight, the tongue can be directed correctly. Thank God it kind of ends here in this chapter. As I look there at verse 13 and 14, who is wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. The word conversation is the word for behavior, which deals with your tongue, his work with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying, strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. In other words, you not be able to understand God's truth if there is bitterness, which comes forth our words. Let me tell you a prayer that we all ought to pray daily. And I want you to turn to Psalm 19, if you will, please. Psalm 19 is a tremendous psalm dealing there with the Word of God and with creation. So turn there as we finish tonight. I know no better place of dealing with the tongue than this chapter. As we know, it begins here, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day into day others speak, night into night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their word is not heard. But then I go to the very last verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What a prayer. What a prayer to pray. By the way, the word meditation is an interesting word. It's like a cow chewed on its cud. So from the word that you use the word meditation. Cow chews on its cud, it chews it for a while, swallow it, goes into one stomach, brings it back up, chews it some more. Doesn't sound very appetizing to me. And it swallows again, goes into another stomach, brings it back up in constantly throughout the day. And it'll get more grass or whatever's there. Everyone here meditates. What do you meditate on? When I think of people, one other verse, and I think of things that we need to meditate on, I think of people. It's easy for the devil to put wrong thoughts in your mind about other people. It's real easy to do that. I love about my wife, if I bring up somebody, even in any a little bit of negative, she says, well, honey, you don't understand what they're going through. She's corrected me more times, because I don't. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Go to Philippians as we close, another verse, then I will close. Well, I may close. Now that I'm back with you, I may stay longer. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, don't be meditating on false things, but things that are true. Whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? The word think here literally means to meditate on those things. Meditate on those things. If whatever you meditate on will determine what comes out of your tongue. Because the Holy Spirit of God cannot control the wrong things that are meditating upon. They'll automatically come out wrong. So I pray today that we'll meditate on those good things. Father, this is a great chapter. I pray tonight as we go